Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Big Ticket, Variety and iHeart's movie podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Today, I sit down with Awkwafina. She's come a long way since her days gathering a following on YouTube. Now, she's a leading contender to land an Oscar nomination for her work in The Farewell, director and writer Lulu Wang's autobiographical dramedy about traveling to China to visit her grandmother, who has just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. One of my favorite parts of this episode, Awkwafina showed up at the Variety Studios on her own. No entourage, no publicist, no manager, no agent, just Awkwafina. So it was great. We got to talking right away. So stick around to hear what she has to say about being inspired by Margaret Cho, getting ready to star in a Marvel superhero movie, and how she deals with imposter syndrome. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. Now here's Awkwafina.
Lovely.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Thank
you. Can I turn this toward me?
Yes, please.
Okay, great.
You know how to do this.
Yeah, it's great.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah? I love that you come on your own, which is pretty, I'm telling you, like in this town, that's impressive.
Yeah, I couldn't pay people to come with me. Yeah, no, it's good, yeah.
How are things going? So you do The Farewell, the movie just, it balloons. It's just this huge success. Do you remember the first day on set? Were you thinking, this is going to be something big?
I really, the only thing that I felt toward it was a very deep relatability to the character of Billy. Mm-hmm. And I was deeply also moved by the story. I remember thinking, like, you couldn't make something like this up, you know? the script in itself was amazing. So I knew that... That where I stood on it, and right. that I really felt something from it, but in terms of the response, like, and that's really all it is. It's not really a hope. I mean, you always want anything you do to be, you know, to live its best life. But right. I think at the end of the day, it's also like when other people feel a similar way about something that you do. I think that's very powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, that it moves them.
So little Nora's growing up in Queens.
Yes.
I am from Queens.
No way.
Yeah.
Where?
Howard Beach.
Okay. All right. Hell yeah.
Where in Queens? Yeah. Where in Queens are you?
Forest Hills. Yeah.
I went to Townsend Harris.
You went to Townsend. Okay. Smart little smarty pants over here. Dude, Townsend Harris is like every Queens kid's dream. You know that, right?
You went to LaGuardia.
Yes.
And that school, you know, I was supposed to audition 6 times.
For what?
For acting, and I chickened
wow.
out each time.
Wow. 6 times?
I would give them stories. I would call them saying, you know, I was supposed to move, and that's why I didn't audition. Can I audition now?
Oh, wow.
And I kept, and I just, the fear got to me, and I didn't do it.
That's crazy, but I think that was fine. Right?
You know what? I'm okay.
Yeah.
So you went to the Fame School. You're growing up in Queens. What did you think you were going to be when you grew up?
I think a big source of, like, my anxiety, which is probably one of the first things I ever remember feeling, is that I didn't know, you know, that I really didn't know. I never really thought I was, smart enough to be like an astronaut or whatever, you know, kids usually, but, you know, I didn't know. That was a thing. I just wanted to be okay, yeah.
And when did comedy, like, that spark? You said, you know what, it's comedy, that's where I'm gonna make a life.
Comedy, humor, all that, really young. I think really the years following my mom's passing when I was 4, I really liked to make people laugh. It just was something I loved doing.
Were you the class clown?
I was always a class clown. I was, you know, I was unembarrassable. I would do anything for a laugh. Anything. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, yeah, it's.
So comedy comes along, obviously music too. You do, you know, you're on the internet. Did you think you'd be here in Hollywood, in LA, a movie star?
No, not at all. I think a lot of, you know, and a lot of that ties into like what I was watching. I think, you know, I was just talking about this, like pop culture plays such a role in especially the children of immigrants, how we're raised. It's part of what raises us here in this country. And within that, you know, music, television, film, if you don't see a lot, you don't really know what's going on.
What are
the possibilities are.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted to entertain. I loved doing that, yeah.
Well, who did you look to? Do you remember seeing yourself for the first time in pop culture?
I think that, you know, the first time was Margaret Cho, seeing her, one of her early stand-up specials on Comedy Central, you know, and that really changed the scope of what seemed possible, I think, at that time. I might have been like 7 years old. And then one of the first movies I ever watched, you know, like, you know, whatever was new at the movie theater was A League of Their Own had just come out, and I was starting to rent movies. I remember watching it so much, like I would just put the tape in, rewind it, just watch it. And then I'm realizing that, like, oh, it's not weird that women play baseball, which is like the premise of the entire movie. But yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
So let's get right to The Farewell.
Yeah.
What did you read the script? Mm-hmm. What went through your head right away?
I was deeply, deeply moved by it. I think I wasn't fully aware of first of all the custom, and then also wasn't fully aware of like the story's history, which was that Lulu had done a podcast, and I listened to the podcast after I watched the script, after I read the script, and I couldn't believe it. And it seemed very like almost like an auspicious event because. It really centers around a relationship between a girl and her grandma, which I haven't seen a lot, especially in scripts that I was given, and I thought that was something. But you know, in terms of playing the role, I knew there would be certain barriers involved. I didn't speak the language growing up, and I was fairly new to the industry, so there was that. But also like a very knowing very very surely that I knew Billy. Because I related so much to like what she was going through at different times in my life. That's really all that I knew when I read it.
And what's amazing about it, you know, I know there's, you know, the question like, why does it resonate so much? Why is it? It's a universal story.
It is.
I was talking to Lulu Wang, and I told her, I said, neurotic Jewish families are just like Chinese families.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. The secret, and I read, I think it's the production notes where you talk about the first thing you learn as a child in a Chinese family is guilt.
Oh yeah.
Hello Judaism. 100%. Hello Jews in New York.
Yeah. And I think like going off of that as well, it's like you don't realize how universal it is, but it really has to do, everyone faces loss. If not everyone has a grandma that, you know, maybe they grow up with or whatever, but everyone goes through loss. So
And then so you get to China and you're filming this.
Yeah.
How wild was it? What was it like the first day? First day on set.
Wow. The first day on set, I think the first scene we shot was when me and Teacher Zhao were doing the outside, like, hot. That was the first thing we shot. And I remember, feeling a little bit out of my element just because we were just starting with work. And I remember I was very nervous with everything leading up. And especially, like, I had just met Teacher Zhao. So when we started and she had a limited knowledge of English, and I a limited knowledge of Chinese. So I thought to myself, like, during this first scene, if I can make her laugh, I think that let me just see if I can make her laugh. Mm-hmm. And I did. And I think from then, it's like you could really see her warmth. Like she was receptive. She was receptive to it.
Right.
And and I remember there definitely being a chemistry there, and us getting so close. Because when you're Asian American and you visit your family out there, a lot of the time you don't know how to communicate with them, and the only way that you can is just by being cheeky and
Well, that's the, with my husband's family. He's from Mexico, so when I go to Mexico, obviously, I'm not Mexican, but I go to Mexico and they don't speak English. I speak a little bit of Spanish, but how we interact, it's all through laughing.
Yeah,
and it's
sure.
Making everyone laugh.
It's the number one icebreaker.
It really is.
That's good.
So. When you wrap the movie, what do you say to everyone?
It was an emotional wrap. I think, you know, when you shoot something abroad, it's and you're with just the crew, and you know, you do feel like a little family. So and that existed there, but then there was also like this other element with The Farewell, and that we were a family. Like not only were we a family as like actors and a crew and Lulu, but we were Lulu's family too, because Lulu's family was literally there, and so if you ever had a question or anything, they were there. And then it was also in Changchun, which is like this place that I think we all called home. But then it was also like where everything happened, the real wedding banquet that we filmed, you know, all of that stuff. it was emotional. And when I watched The Farewell, when I watched it the first time, I cried so much, purely just from a watcher standpoint, just realizing the story, realizing, you know, it's so beautiful. And then also, now I cry because I just miss China. I miss them, yeah.
Right now, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, Awkwafina gets candid about going to therapy and how she copes with imposter syndrome. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. Here's more of Awkwafina.
So I was talking to Lulu about this because obviously everyone calls you by your birth name, Nora.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you? And I asked her, I said, did you guys ever think of using your birth name for the credits?
I think Lulu really wanted me to, I think. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, I think for me personally, like, no, I didn't create Nora. You know, right. Awkwafina is what I created. And so with that, like, I think that's something that I'm, you know, I'm not willing really to let that go yet. Mm. Yeah.
So what Lulu said to me was like, that was not Awkwafina in the movie. That was Nora in the movie.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that can be seen, but I think part of the growth process with Awkwafina is that I think that at first maybe she was related to a certain thing, but now it's like she's part of me, you know? Right. Yeah.
So what are you, so then the movie comes out and all of a sudden you're on Oscar prediction lists. What does, like, I'm looking at your face right now, like, is that the most surreal thing? How do you digest that, you know?
Yeah, as I slink deeper, I know. You know, it's really cool. It's mm-hmm. it's a cool thing. I think, you know, at the end of the day, like that's really awesome. But I think, like I said, like it, I think it's the validation that it resonated,
right.
You know what I mean? And I think that's that, you know, and not just my performance, but like the movie.
Right.
And I think that's cool. Yeah.
What kind of pressure did you feel this, because we talk about this all the time, marginalized communities, they make a movie about one marginalized community, and if it doesn't do well, mm-hmm. then all the studio people say, see, no one wants to see those movies.
Sure.
What kind of pressure was there for The Farewell to do well?
I think, you know, I think that what we were doing was risky. What Lulu wanted to do was risky, a Chinese language film, a American film.
Right.
And so there's a lot, you know, there's so many things that, like, this is the first in so many different respects.
Right.
But also at the same time, that there was an element that's like, we're out here making a movie,
right?
You know, we there was no prediction of like, there was no talk like, well, you know, maybe this will whatever. We just wanted to tell it honestly and tell it as it was. And I think that the question of representation is constantly surrounding, you know, this obviously this genre. But at the end of the day, there's different ways that I think when this came out, it resonated with people that mm-hmm. I think other movies, you know, and I think that'll always be a question. I think there'll always be a sense of pressure
right.
when something that doesn't really exist that much tries to exist, you
right.
know. But at the end of the day, Asian American cinema has always existed. Like, it was a genre that like I literally grew up on.
Mm.
Some of my favorite movies are like done by Asian American filmmakers. Chan is Missing, Saving Face. Like I love the genre, but I don't think that those movies got the stage that it has now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's changing for sure.
And things are definitely changing. Let's talk about Bowen Yang.
Oh, Bowen!
Wow. I mean,
yeah, my dude. Yeah.
So you hear he's going to be on SNL? How'd you find out?
We were on set. We were shooting a scene. He got
really?
The call. Yeah, he got the call. And we were on set.
Wow.
And I was trying so hard to hold it in because he didn't want to be embarrassed. But I just kept telling more and more people, and they just go like, congrats.
That's amazing.
He's, God, he's so funny. And he's just one of, like, the most genuine dudes I've ever met. And, you know, he plays my cousin on the show.
Yep.
And, yeah, such a cool thing.
Tell us about the show.
It's called Nora, Awkwafina is Nora from Queens. It's going to be on Comedy Central.
Everything we just talked about?
Yeah, pretty much, yes. More queefs, probably. But it's gonna be good. Yeah. Oh my God! Sorry, my foot squeaked.
That was not a.
No. Can you imagine? If I queefed, I was like, sorry. Did your mic pick that up?
Oh my God, dying right now. Dead. And I'm like turning red.
I'm having way too much fun. This is, a podcast should not be this fun. Yeah, it's great.
And then Little Mermaid. What? You're a singing fish.
Oh man. That's not really confirmed yet, but would be very exciting if it happened.
It's not confirmed yet?
No.
When did it gets so confusing when this thing is confirmed. Marvel Cinematic Universe, is that confirmed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us. Superhero movie.
Yeah.
Go.
Oh man. I got the news that this project was out there and they set me up with a meeting with Destin, and really wasn't until I met Destin that I found out a little bit more about it and his vision for it. And he's so incredible. Like, I'm such a fan of his work. And it's gonna happen soon.
Do you have to do superhero training?
I'm not Shang-Chi, so
right.
So that's I'm gonna let Simu deal with that stuff. But we're starting to get some things going, and wow. I'm just super excited. Yeah.
I mean, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, when you were first watching TV, you saw Margaret Cho, and then maybe a little here, a little there.
Lucy Liu, yeah.
Now, MCU. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's cool. It's yeah.
So do you think, you know, diversity and inclusivity, it's more than just talk in Hollywood right now?
I think it definitely is. I think it's almost, you know, there are things that are changing in our society. I think that, you know, in media and representation have a lot to do with that. It's basically, you know, you're setting forth a mirror of like what being an American means today in 2019. And I think that without diversity and inclusivity, you don't have that picture at all. It's and I think that the more that we tell original stories, but we also have stories reflect like what our world looks like when we go out in the street, when we're out. Like, I think that's important. And I think the worst fear in the sense that diversity of kind of just painting this image that you're just checking off boxes and kind of thing. I think that the worst scenario of that is that it's a trend, and you don't want people to be trends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, but I think in my experience so far is that people are sensitive to that, and I think that we are progressing toward toward something good. I don't think we're not like spiraling, you know. Mm-hmm. I think we're going towards somewhere good.
So what does it feel like when a little kid, boy or girl, comes up to you, you know, of Asian descent, and says, "Thank you, I see me in you"?
It really means the world. And when I was young, and I think that I can say this for a lot of Asian American kids, is that we are searching for idols. That's what we're doing, and it's part of the reason why they called YouTube Asian Hollywood. You know, there is an audience for that. And I think what I do is like, I just want there to be more. That's all, you know. And whether I'm out there representing like Asian women or weird women or like whatever, like I want there to be someone who says, well, if she could do it, I can do it. I really do.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
One thing, when you were honored by Variety, Power of Women, you
talked about the prompter thing.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with it. but you talked about imposter syndrome.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk to me about that a little bit more.
You know, I didn't know what I was feeling, and I started to feel it a little bit when I first got cast in Ocean's 8, because in the scope of my career, like I didn't understand how that happened, and I think with that comes like, oh my God, like what am I doing here? Like will I live up to what they expect of me? Things like that. And then I was talking to with a friend who's a stand-up comedian. And she was like, "You're describing imposter syndrome. Like, this is what I get all the time. It's a thing. Like, my therapist talks about it all the time. Like, this is a thing. Look it up." So I looked it up, and it is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a human response to things that
it's a fear.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, And I've come to accept like a degree of it. I think that I'll always have it. I'll always have imposter syndrome. I'll always hate myself a little bit, maybe a little bit more every day. And so, I think a good amount of it is good to keep you on the ground, yes. right? Because you don't want to like, you know, just be like, I'm winning.
I'm perfect.
Like, I am so perfect right now. It's crazy. But I think a lot of it, when it deters you from creating and it deters you from literally like functioning, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's when it can be that.
Yeah, for me, you know, I have a friend of mine. So, you know, I've been covering red carpets for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I always get, every carpet I go to, I get nervous. No one's going to talk to me. I'm not going to get something.
What?
But that's exactly it. So I have a friend. He's hilarious. Every time, like right before the Oscars or a big award show,
yeah.
he'll send me a text saying, you know no one's going to talk to you, right?
Oh my God, that's evil.
It's so evil. But it makes me laugh and it brings me down. And
yeah, for sure.
And there's a healthy, I think there's a...
Yeah, because, yeah, there's a healthy amount.
Yes.
Because you also don't want to be like, everyone's going to talk to me, and right. I'm going to be like, yeah, for sure.
You don't want to...
But you're very approachable as
thank
well.
Thank you.
So it's...
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and you do great.
And so by the way, I wasn't fishing there.
No, I know.
But go
I know.
On, go on. Yeah. Crazy Rich Asians, number two. Mm-hmm. When are we seeing it? When are you starting?
Sorry.
She's drinking her iced coffee.
I'll just eat the ice.
Okay. People love eating ice during podcasts. I had that happen the other day, too.
It's like the worst thing you can ever eat.
During a podcast.
It's like, you want a vanilla wafer? Yeah, it's a mukbang.
Really dry
it's mukbang all of a sudden.
Cracker?
Yeah. I forgot the
Crazy Rich Asians.
Crazy Rich Asians, yes. too, yes. That is happening. It's definitely happening. I don't think we have seen anything yet, but... Yeah, it's happening. When and where, I have no idea. But, you know, I'm excited for it, yeah.
And what was your first reaction when you heard about Adele Lim going public with, you know, the fact that she wasn't being paid the same as her male counterpart?
Yeah, I mean, I when I first read it, I did not know much about it. I still don't know much about mm-hmm. it, aside from what was released. But, you know, I worked with her on Crazy Rich Asians, but I'm working with her right now for... Raya and the Last Dragon, and
yep.
You know, I think that there's a point that can be gathered from that situation for sure, and yeah, I mean, I think I you know like John and like a lot of other people, we stand with her for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do? And right now, someone says to you, "Here's as much money as you want. Here's the project. Whatever you want to do, what would you do?"
Man, it's a hard one.
Well, I go to a therapist about my imposter syndrome.
Oh, like I thought you meant like a specific genre of a specific. Okay.
No.
Oh, okay.
Whatever you would do, like.
You know, I think a part of me would want to live just in some, just like just get a little shack somewhere. You know, live out my days.
But work-wise, what would you want to do?
Work-wise, I don't know. I think I'm figuring stuff that out. You know, mm-hmm. I think I'm so used to just kind of being on a ride and kind of just and it takes me where it goes. And
right.
if it doesn't, and then you know, if there's a season where there's nothing there, then there's nothing there. And I think right now I'm trying to learn what to do when you're off, you know, like how to make the best of that time.
Right.
I wanna help people tell stories because, you know, one thing especially when I was writing the show and I was like casting a writer's room and also just like meeting all of these different people through like a lot of like some of the work that I've done. There's a lot of stories out there. There's a lot of storytellers
so
out there. And when there's like the belief that, well, there just aren't enough out there. Where are they? If you bring them to me, they're out there.
They're
you
out
know?
There, yeah.
And I think that if there's anything that we can do, if we had platforms at all, would be to help people right. get theirs, yeah.
And what's the one movie you could watch over and over again and you never get bored?
Wow, Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Why is that?
I love it.
I gotta ask why. I mean, I know why.
I did a movie with Allison Janney and Ellen Barkin who played best friends in that movie, mm-hmm. and they were sitting across from me at dinner, the two of them, and I just remember just like, oh my God, it's so cool. I could watch that. I could watch a couple documentaries. Catfish, the documentary Catfish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you?
What do I watch? My husband and I, we watch.
Oh no. Oh, no.
My husband got me sucked into it. White Chicks.
I just watched that the other night. Yeah.
My husband, okay. Okay, not just watch it. My husband sits there. I'll come home. He's on the couch watching it, and he's mouthing the words.
The lines?
The lines.
That's awesome.
Awkwafina, thank you so much.
This is so much fun.
And thank you for arriving on your own. I'm just like mind blown.
That was Awkwafina. Thanks for listening to The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Malkin. And I hope everyone is having a happy holiday season. See you next time.